بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, last night we commenced with the incident of Ayyub alayhi salam, and we spoke about his situation, how initially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with abundant of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with much properties, and he had many servants and attendants under him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tested him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first blessed him with all these material comforts and all these luxuries that he enjoyed in this world. And he had up to 14 children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. And slowly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then took away all these bounties from him one by one. First Allah took away from him his properties, then his servants, his businesses, his large estates that he had owned and possessed. All of these, slowly and slowly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it away from him. His children, in one night the building collapsed. He lost all of his children. All 14 of his children passed away. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with this disease. Such a disease and such an illness that everyone, they dispersed from around him, and he was left totally by himself. Only his wife was at his side, and she was there to support him through the illness. Eventually his wife, she pleaded with him that he should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pray to Allah for his mercy, because his sufferings had become unbearable. There were blisters and boils all over his body. But Ayyub alayhi salam, what was his response to his wife? He could not master the courage to make dua to Allah. He felt ashamed that for 70 years of my life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to enjoy prosperity, good health, good wealth, luxuries and comforts of this world, and the illness and the suffering has only been 7 years. So I find it very hard to make dua to Allah, although we said it's perfectly fine to make dua to Allah for shifa. But this was the adab, this was the respect, and this was his level of humility before Allah, that Allah gave me 70 years of the best, and he's only tested me with 7 years of suffering. I just find it to be rather ungrateful and an expression of ingratitude to make dua to Allah and complain to him about my illness. And eventually he made dua, but he didn't ask Allah for shifa. Even in the dua that he made, Allah says, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا أَيُّوبِ, and make mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speak of our slave, our abd, who is that? Ayyub. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. I want to pause here for a moment. If you look at the du'as of the anbiya, the du'a of Zakariya alayhi salam, what was the du'a that he made? Naam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. Now the word nada in Arabic, the word nada in Arabic means to shout out, as I am doing right now. To shout out to somebody so that everyone can hear your voice. To extend the volume of one's voice so that everyone can hear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nada Rabbah. So the impression that we get from this is that Ayyub alayhi salam shouted out to Allah. And he raised his voice. But that was not the case. Even with Zakariya alayhi salam, Ibn Kathir alayhi rahmah, when he explains the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, he said he whispered to Allah. It was a whisper. But why does Allah use the expression Nada? When he speaks about the Anbiya, they shouted out to Allah. That goes against the etiquette of a Nabi. That goes against the etiquette of dua. To shout out and to scream out to Allah. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. A group of Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is, Ya Rasul of Allah, tell us, أَقَرِيبٌ رَبُّنَا فَنُنَاجِيهِ أَمْ بَعِيدٌ فَنُنَاجِيهِ. Is Allah close to us so that we can whisper and make dua? Make a secret dua? Or is Allah far away from us that when we make dua, we need to shout out? Rasulullah did not respond to them, but the verse came down. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when my servants ask you about me, then tell them, inni qareeb, I am very, very near and close to them. There's no need for them to shout out. But Allah says, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. So what does this mean? How do we reconcile? Right? The word gives the impression that Ayyub alayhi salam shouted out. His words were only a whisper. But the fervor and the strength and that inner desperation, that was loud. That was loud. So it was as if he shouted out the dua. And that's what Allah wants to see within you. Rasulullah says in a hadith, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَنْجُو فِيهِ إِلَّا مَنْ دَعَى بِدُعَاءٍ كَدُعَاءِ الْغَرِيقِ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a time will come upon my ummah when the only dua that Allah will listen to and the only dua that will be answered is the dua that is made with the same level of desperation that a drowning person expresses when he fears drowning. How much desperation in that voice? He's in the middle of the ocean, no one is out there to hear him. But he shouts out, you make dua with that level of desperation, then Allah will answer your dua. Al-Imam al-Razi, rahimahullah, the great mufassir of his time, he says, أجمعت الأمة على أن الدعاء اللساني الخالي عن الطلب النفساني قليل الأثر عديم النفع. He says that your verbal utterance, when you're making dua, the verbal utterance that is not supplemented and is not supported with an inner sense of desperation, that verbal utterance carries no weight. Allah does not study the verbal utterance as much as He studies the inner desperation when you're making dua. That's why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءَ مَنْ قَلْبُهُ غَافٍ لَهِنْ Allah does not listen to the dua of an inattentive heart. Somebody is making dua, but his mind is not in the dua. The heart is not in the dua. That is what Allah wants to see. That inner desperation. So when Allah says, Nada Rabba, He shouted out to His Allah, that inner desperation, that was loud. That intensity, that was loud. That fervor, that was loud. It was as if He shouted out to Allah Azza wa Jal. أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِنُصْبٍ وَعَذَابٍ Two places Allah described the dua. We discussed this last night. The other dua or elsewhere where Allah describes the dua of Ayyub alayhi salam, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ Oh Allah, I am afflicted by pain. Now you and I, if we make dua for shifa, and again, I want to emphasize the point, we are taught in the hadith to make dua for shifa, right? Although Ayyub alayhi salam, that was his position, and that was his level of taqwa and humility in the sight of Allah. Look at the dua that he made. رَبِّ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ Oh Allah, I have been afflicted by pain. I have been afflicted by suffering. You and I, what will the next request be? So cure me, right? But he doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, Oh Allah, I've been afflicted by pain and suffering. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ And you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Subhanallah. He doesn't say, oh Allah, cure me. He feels, I'm just going to be ungrateful to ask Allah for shifa when Allah gave me 70 years of good health. This is adab, etiquette when you sit before Allah. The prevailing feeling within your heart should be humility, not a trace of arrogance, not a trace of self-sufficiency, not a trace of pride. Put aside those accolades and those titles and those achievements and all those things that you are known for. Put all that aside when you are sitting before Allah. With nothing, absolutely like a beggar before Allah. That's what Allah wants to see. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ What did Allah say? فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ So we answered his prayer. Allah says we answered the dua of Ayyub alayhi salam. First thing, what did we do? Now remember, he lost all the wealth that he had. He was one of the richest people at the time. All his properties, he lost all of that. After that, Allah tested him with his children. He lost all 14 children in one night. And then after that, Allah afflicted him with a severe illness that he suffered with for 7 long years. What would be the first thing you'd want back? Right? Is your health. Because you are in pain all the time. As much as you'd want your children, as much as you'd want your property and your belongings and all of that back when you are making dua, but the very first thing you need right now to regain that strength, remember only 2 organs of his body were free and were saved from that bacteria which spread throughout his body and afflicted. It was his heart and his tongue, and he used both of those to make shukr. Oh Allah, at least you left me with these 2. I make shukr to you. You left me with these 2. And he used those 2 to make shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah says the first thing we did, فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرْ The ضُرْ. See, what did he tell Allah? أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ ضُرْ Oh Allah, ضُرْ. ضُرْ is translated as harm or suffering or pain. Oh Allah, I'm afflicted by ضُرْ. Allah said the very first thing we did is we removed the ضُرْ. We removed whatever pain he had. That was the first thing that we did. That is how we answered him. Secondly, because he lost all his family, وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ Allah brought all his children back to life. Allahu Akbar. What a powerful, intense dua that must have been. That Allah says in the Quran, وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ. We brought all 14 children of his, miraculously, a miracle of Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah says, all 14 of them, we brought them back to life, his 7 sons and his daughters. And not only that did we bring those 14 children back to life, وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ. And Allah says, and we gave him, along with them, another 14. Another 14, along with those 14 that we brought back to life. That was the power of the dua. And what else? That was the level of his endurance and perseverance. Allah will test you in life. And the objective of testing you is to see whether you have developed that quality of sabr. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says about the month of Ramadan, one of the titles that the month of Ramadan enjoyed is what? Shahru sabr. It is a month of tolerance. It's a month wherein you are required to develop within you this attribute and this quality, this trait of sabr, perseverance and tolerance. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured him, his hardships were over, his children were brought back to life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his wife also, we said his wife was who? Rahma, either the daughter of Yusuf alayhi salam or the granddaughter. Right, according to some, she was the daughter of Yusuf. According to others, she was the granddaughter of Yusuf alayhi salam. She gave birth to as many more children as he had. Now this, look at what Allah says at the end. And Allah tells us this when he answered the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, who made dua at the age of 90 for a child, and Allah gave him the child, Yahya. Okay, what does Allah say here and over there? Allah says, Rahmatan min indina. This is purely Allah's mercy. When you sit on that musalla, whenever during the month of Ramadan, whether it is a time of suhoor, or the time of iftar, or any other time during the day, don't ever sit there with this feeling that what I am asking for, I deserve it. Don't ever have that type of an attitude. Allah says, if there was anyone who felt they deserved what it is they are asking for, it was Ayyub alayhi salam. But what does Allah say? Rahmatan min indina. We answered his dua. We granted him shifa. We brought back his family to him. We gave him back all his wealth and properties and everything else that he enjoyed for the past 70 years. Allah says this was nothing more than our mercy. So when you make dua to Allah, ask Allah through his mercy. That attribute of his for which Allah is always known. The attribute that we and the entire creation are always enjoying. The mercy of Allah. And when it comes to the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَتِ. Allah says there also, this, I'm reminding you of the rahmah that I had on Zakariya by giving him a child. So when you make dua to Allah and your dua is answered, never for a moment feel that I deserved it. I got it, why? Because I deserved it. I fasted throughout the month of Ramadan. I stood in prayer, I recited Quran, I give out so much charity, I perform so many umrahs throughout my life. When I make dua, my dua should be answered. Don't ever have that attitude before Allah Azza wa Jal. We deserve nothing. Wallahi, we deserve nothing. Nothing. And we need to understand that when we sit before Allah. That's why Allah called you a faqir. Allah called you a beggar. So Allah says, رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ. And this is a lesson for the worshippers. Urkud birijlik. What happened next? When his dua was answered, Allah told him, Urkud. Urkud means stamp. Urkud birijlik. Allah told Ayyub alayhi salam that strike the ground with your foot. And that is what he did. Right? In that weak state, he stood up and he struck the ground with his foot, and miraculously, هَذَا مُخْتَسَلٌ بَارِدٌ وَشَرَابٌ. Miraculously, like on the occasion when Hajar alayhi salam required water, and water gushed forth. Here also, as he rubbed his foot on the ground, there was a stream of cool water that came out from the ground. Allah told him, هذا مغتسل. Here is cool water to bathe in. He bathed in this water. He drank of this water. And immediately when he did this, the disease disappeared. All those boils and sores and nasty bruises that appeared on his body due to that illness, Allah restored his health, Allah restored his appearance, Allah restored his beauty to such an extent that when this happened, his wife Rahma was not at his side at the time, because remember, she used to go out to earn so that she could feed him. So when she came back, she could not even recognize her husband. She broke down in tears. She felt that Allah has taken my husband away. And when Ayyub alayhi salam came up to her, he had to convince her that really I am Ayyub. I am your husband Ayyub. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me shifa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had cured me. And at the end, what does Allah say? Allah says, Inna wajadnahu sabira. Truly we found him to be sabir. We found him to be patient. We brought all these conditions upon him. Why? To test that sabr within him. That quality of patience. We wanted to test it within him. Allah says, Ni'mal abd. Ni'mal abd. Allah says, what an excellent slave he was. Imagine Allah saying this about Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah says, number one, we found him. We tested him. He passed the test. We wanted to see, does he possess within him that quality of sabr? Allah says, at the end, wajadnahu sabira. We found him to be sabir. Sabir, one who did possess the quality of perseverance and patience. Ni'ma al-abd. Allah says, how excellent a slave he was. Innahu awwab. Allah says, certainly he was awwab. Throughout his life, he was awwab. Now this I found so fascinating. Allah says he was always awwab. Who is awwab? Awwab is one who is always turning to Allah. No matter what the circumstances and the conditions may be, he's always turning to Allah. He is awwab and Allah is who? Tawwab. Tawwab means the one who is oft forgiving, who will always forgive and relent upon you. You got to be awwab, always turning to Allah Azza wa Jal in order for Allah to be tawwab, to always forgive you. So Allah says about Ayyub alayhi salam, he was always awwab. He was always turning to Allah. He never stopped turning to Allah. A calamity should bring you closer to Allah, not take you away from Allah. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, what did he say? He says, لَوْلَا الْمَصَائِبِ لَوْرَدْنَا الْقِيَامَةَ مَفَالِيسِ. If we did not experience hardships and difficulties in this world, then we will come before Allah in a state of bankruptcy on the day of Qiyamah. All these sufferings that we experience are a means of our elevation in the Akhirah, and that's what we spoke of last night. Now what I found very interesting is before the incident of Ayyub alayhi salam, right? And we'll conclude on this note. Allah speaks of another great Nabi. Who was that? Sulaiman. Now let's compare the life of Sulaiman alayhi salam to the life of Ayyub. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he lived a life of comfort, a life of authority and power, and Allah gave him kingdom over everything. Allah gave him control over the winds. Allah gave him control over the jinn kind. Allah gave him control over the birds. Allah gave him control over the animals. He had control over everything in this world. Allah gave him that control. Right? But when Allah speaks of him, at the end, what does Allah say? Allah says, وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُودَ سُلَيْمَانَ. And Allah says, we gave Dawood a son whose name was Sulaiman. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ. What did Allah say about Ayyub alayhi salam? نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ. What an excellent slave he was. And about Sulaiman, Allah says, نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ. He was an excellent slave. He was a wonderful slave. He was an amazing slave. إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٍ. He was awwab. What did Allah say about Ayyub? He was awwab. But compare their lives. Compare the lives. Sulaiman alayhi salam was living the life of a king. Literally speaking, he was living the life. No king enjoyed what Sulaiman alayhi salam enjoyed. So he was living this life of prosperity. On the other hand, you had Ayyub alayhi salam living a life of suffering and adversity. But for both of them, Allah says they were both awwab. That bounty should make you turn to Allah as much as the adversity makes you turn to Allah. That's what you learn. Sulaiman alayhi salam was enjoying bounties and luxuries and comforts. But what did he do? Awwab. Allah says he was turning to Allah all the time. All the time. Those bounties took him closer to Allah. And Ayyub alayhi salam suffering, but that suffering took him closer to Allah. That's why Rasulullah SAW says, and I'll conclude on this hadith. Nabi SAW says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Nabi SAW says, I'm so amazed. I'm so blown away, and I'm so awe-inspired by the life of a believer. Nabi SAW, إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٍ. His every affair is good for him. His every circumstance is good for him, whether favorable or unfavorable. Why? In أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّهُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. When he enjoys a bounty, when he enjoys prosperity, what does he do? He makes shukr. He makes shukr, and shukr is what? Turning to Allah. What Sulaiman alayhi salam did? Awwab. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّهُ. And if he's afflicted by calamity, what does he do? Sabr. He makes sabr. And what's sabr? He's turning to Allah. So for a believer, it's a win-win situation, whether he's enjoying a bounty, he turns to Allah in shukr. So he's awab, he's turning to Allah. And if he's enjoying if he's not enjoying any bounty, but he has been afflicted by suffering, he makes sabr and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, tomorrow we will discuss the dua of another great Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when he fled Egypt and he proceeded towards Madian. Remember, he went to Madian, a foreign land. He went there with nothing, literally nothing, no wealth, nothing. And he went and he sat under one tree in Madian, and he did not know where he's going to spend the night that evening, but he raised his hands and he made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will see how Allah azza wa jal then answered the dua of Musa alayhi salam. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhira da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.